I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have your company this morning. And Tim, something that I am very grateful you have introduced to our program is the ability to widen the horizons and think outside our little square here in Melbourne and to cast that net wider and go international. You've been a great listener of podcasts for the last couple of years and you've introduced us to lots of different guests. And I'm looking forward to speaking to our next guest this morning. Sue Enquist is her name. Now, just indulge me for a moment. UCLA's softball's first All-American national champion and Hall of Famer. She concluded her storied 27-year career back in 2006 as head coach of the UCLA Bruins. 83% win record, 887 victories. The winningest softball coach among all active coaches. The only person in NCAA softball history to win a championship as a head coach and a player. She's produced 66 All-Americans, 15 Olympians, and been inducted into six Hall of Fames. That's not a bad CV. She joins us online. Sue, welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys.
What do you think about when you hear that on reflection? You've been out of the game now. You're not coaching at the coalface so much, but you sit back and you hear that sort of a resume read out. How does that make you feel?
Actually, I find myself kind of laughing and just say, yeah, that was good pitching and stay out of the way and let them play.
Hey, Sue, it's a great pleasure to speak to you this morning. This is an easy question for you to answer. What makes a great coach?
I think what makes a great coach is someone that listens and knows that their role is to facilitate emotional safety for boys and girls, men and women, to put themselves on the line and go for it, because sport is so cutthroat, win, lose. And you make this decision to get in front of a crowd and say, everybody, I'm going for it. And at the end, they're going to call a loser and a winner. But for me, it really is just an event and teaching kids to just go for it and don't worry about the event and being a loser or a winner, because we just like to say, you lost, you're never a loser.
How challenging was it over that period of time that Gary outlined in the introduction to you today? Because obviously you've got kids that have, they changed, the way that they're raised has changed over that period of time. You've got the millennials who we believe are different than the previous generation of kids. So how difficult was it for you to be able to change the way that you communicated with these young kids that came through?
Well, I think what's interesting is, early in my career, I was put up, shut up, right? I'm a daughter of a military father, a mom that was a nurse. I got the best of both worlds and lived in a very vertical leadership hierarchy. And then I started to notice that the kids were coming in with less joy in the game. And I recognized that we've been shoving competition and shoving a scholarship down their throat, that they never got to develop a love relationship with sport. I just want to commend your country. UCLA softball has been a huge recipient of two of your greatest icons in softball, Joe Alchin and Tanya Harding. So these players that come to sport today never develop just play, innocent play where no one's paying attention. You're just out there with your buddies. Now it's super organized, big money, club ball, pay $1 million, get a scholarship. And so I said to myself, I'm going to be different. When you come to UCLA, we're going to celebrate that you made it. Let's work really hard, having lots of fun, and let the wins and the losses fall where they may.
So, Sue, so we wrestle sometimes here in Australia. There's a bit of a conversation going on around junior sport and how important it is to have to keep score, for instance, at a really younger age when you're first introduced. And there are some that say, look, let's not keep score and let's celebrate exactly what you're talking about, just being out there and performing. There are others that say, well, no, that's just bringing up a generation of kids that don't, you know, have no resilience and aren't able to cope with wins and losses and that we're mollycoddling. What do you say to that?
Well, I think both are correct. It's a timing issue. Early on, you're a youth coach. You'll have one job. You're coaching we're over here in crazy America, right? We have four and under softball, right? Oh, come on, geez. People. They don't even know how to eat their food yet, let alone throw a ball. So Early on, I say like 4 to 8 to 10 years old, you have one job as youth coach. So youth coaches out there, you have one job. At the end of the little mini season, the kid raises their hand and said, I want to come back. Mm. It was really fun.
Yep.
Dear coach, you don't have to teach a six-year-old the 17 principles of hitting a baseball or softball. So that's number one. Number two, to the parents, stop equating your child's worth next to a win so the kid can go out there and go for it. Then she'll be ready to deal with competition when she's 10, 12 years old because she already knows she's a good person, win or lose. So parents, I always say to the parents, think of sport as a movie. A movie. You're going to the movies. You're not in the movie. So sit down, shush up, and let your kid play the game. We don't need extra coaches in the bleachers, and we don't need an extra coach in the car on the way home. That's the other one that we've got to tackle that with our sport parents. Just let the kid get in the car, and silence is golden for them. Put your hands at 10 and 2 on the steering wheel and just enjoy the silence.
That's one of the great challenges, though, Sue. We talk about this all the time, the ugly parent syndrome here, and the conversation happens each and every sporting season, across the sporting seasons, about parents getting involved with their kids and overcoaching and arguing with other parents at sport and that type of thing. Have you had any success in this area? I mean, I love the message that you're sending out there. Do you think it's hitting the mark in any way?
I don't know, guys. We're just like you. We're dealing with the same thing. Where we're failing as a society is, whether you're in Australia or the United States, we only value what we measure. So until we start measuring and rewarding great sport parent behavior, great parent of performing children behavior, I don't care if your kid's in a spelling bee, a dance recital, or a softball game, when we start to reward parent sport mastery, I think we're going to start seeing improved behavior. But right now, the person running the roost at the softball field is the loudmouth parent yelling at the umpire. And let's remember that umpire is just a dad that raised his hand and said, I'll help, poor soul.
And Sue, and we're speaking with Sue Enquist, who's the winningest softball coach in the United States. Unbelievable record. I'm interested here. We put so much emphasis on the win and the loss. That's just life, and you've tried to change this clearly. And there's a turning point that you speak about in your coaching career. Back in 2000, you had your number one ranked team lose to an unranked team in a tournament in Hawaii, and you threw your consolation trophy in the trash and in the rubbish. And then the story went viral. Can you, Raquel, call that story for our audience?
Oh, it was a tipping point for me because I always talk about early in my career, I was all about X's and O's. So if we couldn't get it right, I would just yell louder. Mm. That was my form of coaching. And even though on the outside we were winning a lot, when I reflect and speak to my players at the time, they will say to me, Coach, it was like we held our breath for 4 years because you were so unrealistic. And we did equate our worth with the W because you only talked about the W. You never talked about my birthday, or never talked about my family. And that was a tipping point for me when it was the perfect nightmare storm. I trashed the trophy. I don't want any part of the consolation trophy. And to be honest, I still don't. But I've got to be a big girl and place the trophy where it's supposed to be placed. Here we are in Hawaii, trash the trophy. And it gets exposed to the newspaper. And this is back before social media. And before you know it, my phone's blowing up the next day. My kids that are coaching from across the country, it went viral in that stage of media, which was it hit the wires. So if anybody out there doesn't believe me, just type in Enquist coaching trash trophy and watch what comes up. And that's when I had a stopping point. And Coach Wooden was a mentor of mine, our great thought leader and great basketball coach here in the United States. And he said, Sue, you haven't learned to teach the kids that you're going to love them on their best day and their worst day. And that stuck with me. Great coaches love their kids on the best day and the worst day when it comes to wins and losses. And he said, you have to invest in caring about the person because the person is always bigger than the W. And my last, 7 years, I committed to that. And I think I left my career at the end doing my best coaching because I was coaching people and not athletes.
Just on that point, and I listened to the podcast, the Finding Mastery podcast, and you talked about that pursuit then of excellence and building that excellence in everything that your team performed as opposed to just going in that pursuit of victory.
Yeah, and what it did, the kids, when I talk to my players now, they say that was just a relief for us. Don't look left, don't look right. Every single day you have the best version of yourself. And self-reflect at the end of every practice, did you get 1% better? And they said that lineup for us, that emotional lineup that you asked us to execute was so much easier that we never worried about the small margin for error because, you know, remember, I was coaching a program where you never left without a championship ring. So if you go to UCLA, historically, you would get a championship ring at one point in your 4 years. So that means zero margin for error. And the kids tell me the minute you flipped it and said, I care about you as a person, I love you as a person, and I guarantee I'm going to be there for you on your best day and your worst day, that was a game changer for them. We started to win more consistently. But most importantly, sport was supposed to be fun. And so I think I really got it together more at the end than I did the first two-thirds, but I'm grateful that I did start to get it right. And hopefully those kids that suffered those early years aren't damaged for life, right?
Exactly. That pursuit of fun, how did you make it fun, that whole coaching side of things?
We did lots of little things, right? Like if you're a youth coach out there, a professional coach, these are people that want to skate during their two-hour game. And so it's my job to create the conditions for fun. Like, we were defending champions, and we used to have a menu. Seven-inning game. Every inning, we'd serve up something in the first inning. First batter has got to see at least three pitches. Second batter has got to try to foul off at least two or three pitches before you put the ball in play. So every little, like, break it up into little games within the game, and then no one's worrying about scoring the RBI, scoring the run to win the game. No one's focused on the W. Everyone's focused on having a good time minute by minute. And when you can get a team doing that, then they start coming to me and they're like, Coach, this is what we want to do in the fourth inning tomorrow. This is going to be on the menu. That's when I knew I reached them, when they started just focusing on process and not results. Because we know science tells us over here, we know that those that have gone to the top, those that stay on the top, their character, who they are, drives their process, and the process gives us the results, and we never worry about the results because we can't control the results. We can only control the process.
So you got a couple of minutes. Is there still room for what we call a cook, like an old-fashioned dressing down of your players? Is there still room for that in sport?
I think there is. There always is, because there's always the team standard, right? And so I was wound pretty tight, you can imagine, and I had a high standard for the team. I just want to warn people the power of your words. And so if you're that person that does the dressing down, do it in a team setting. It's not necessary to dress someone down individually. And so today, I would ask them to dress down themselves. I would ask them today, if you were coaching today too, how would it be different? I'd be asking lots of questions. So we don't show up in the game, time for a dress down. I'm going to get them in the clubhouse. I'm going to look them all in the eye and go, who wants to talk first? Mm. Let's get it out. Let's own it and move on. And so we had great failure recover. We owned it and we moved on and we never got stuck in our junk.
So we appreciate it. We've had the opportunity to speak to a lot of different people from different fields over the journey. And as you can imagine, here in Melbourne, we concentrate a lot on our local domestic sport. To be able to expand our horizons and speak to someone as successful as your good self is a great joy for us. We really appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Well, thank you. And I just want to let all your families know we're praying for you with all the challenges you've had over there. America has such a great respect for your country, and I consider you my mate.
Well, it's very kind, and we appreciate that. And it's great to talk to you, Sue Enquist. And Tim, I'm very proud of our audience, by the way.
Me too.
I reckon somewhere along the way, people will start to think, oh, hang on. But when you see the feedback that comes through here, awesome chat to Sue. I'm sorry to say that the coaching causes difficulties for poor admin, racism, and sport. I've given coaching away. I wish we had more like Sue here in southeast Melbourne. Thank you for bringing Sue on. Fantastic to listen to successful sports people across codes and borders. Enjoyed her messaging around the love of the game for kids. It's great to see that. And, I mean, it's 15 minutes out of our show. Each once a week we'll try and do it and expand. And I'm proud of our audience that for who embrace it. And this is the thing I got out of it. I coach people and not athletes. Mm. There's a really powerful message. And doesn't that resonate with, you know, our number one sport here in this town, the most successful team? What do you reckon, Damien Hardwick? Who do you reckon coaches people or athletes?
That's what Ross has just sent a text in, Gary. This is exactly what Hardwick has done. Flipped his attitude to loving your players and having fun.
Fantastic.
Having fun.
Well done to you. We'll take a break. Sammy Edmund is going to join us. Reminder, call of the year. You can win a brand new Toyota Kaluga GX two-wheel drive. Download the My Toyota app today. Book your next service online. Sammy Edmund in next.